So we're listening just then to Dimitri Martin, comedian, writer and actor now, actually just recently in a Woody Allen film, and extraordinary. So if you want to check out Dimitri Martin online, if you want to find out more about his work, and just that whole show was a palindrome, which is just extraordinary. Great mind.
Yeah, fantastic and really funny. I've not, I have to confess, never heard him before, but I really enjoyed that.
So let's look at the text messages. Favourite words coming in, heaps of them. So we've got Ziba, which means perfect in Persian. Bora Bora, go go, also in Persian. That's lovely. Thank you for that. What else have we got?
Not Chiquitita, because it's not about ABBA.
It's not ABBA, is it? Chiquitina.
Ah, there we go.
Chiquitina, which means little in Spanish.
That's lovely, and that probably explains why I only did six Spanish classes last year. And actually, this is I know this word, cariad, which is Welsh for darling. Thanks very much, John, for that. And he's been assured that it does mean darling
by his Welsh girlfriend. Yes, well, it does. Apparently, George says so too. Yes,
yeah,
excellent stuff. So when we're looking at words and language and writers, we've heard from Daljit Nagra, we've heard from Dimitri Martin. For you, George, you were trained as an actor.
Yes.
Shakespeare.
I did enjoy Shakespeare, but I was always a comic actor, so...
Well, there's plenty of comedies.
There is, but I felt more comfortable with English Restoration Theatre because it was a lot more bawdy. For me, you know, I love the innuendo, and that, again, coming back to language, you know, that's one of the beauties of language is innuendo, which we revel in, I think, in comedy in the UK. So I really enjoyed that. But actually, one of my favourite writers is an American playwright called Edward Albee.
Oh, yes, I love Edward Albee, yeah.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I generally prefer modern playwrights as opposed to the oldie English kind.
So with oldie English, the oldie worldie
the
kind.
The oldie worldie kind.
However, you cannot take away the significance of writers like William Shakespeare and what he has done for the English language and literature. I'm with you as well. Interesting, actually, in that I too didn't really, when I was training as an actor, we started off at the same college in the UK. I didn't really warm to Shakespeare. I found it incredibly difficult, and I didn't really go. Me as well, modern, my favourite writer is Arthur Miller. So again, sure. American playwright like you, Edward Albee, American playwright. Mm. So what is it with Edward Albee that attracts you to his words or his stories?
I mean, like Mamet, there's an anger. There's a brutal reality. I mean, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is a very brutal story about a couple whose relationship's just a disaster. I mean, they do love each other, but it's an absolute disaster and very aggressive. There's a lot of very heavy substance abuse in this, and it's just a very gritty look at an awful life. And for me, I like that. I like gritty. And going back to Shakespeare, actually, some of the Shakespeare that I really did enjoy was stuff like Titus Andronicus, which was the first tragedy of Shakespeare's, and it really probably was, I think, the most gruesome. And you know, I don't know whether you know the play, but at the end of it, it's ultimately the mum ends up eating her son's in a pie, and that's what happens. And whilst that's not every day, it sort of explores that the concept that there is evil or the potential for evil within all of us, and that harsh psychological reality that we are all capable of these things is what I loved about all theatre, really. I say I was into comedy, and as an actor I was better at that, but actually intellectually that's the kind of theatre I loved.
It challenges you, it makes you feel uncomfortable, but you learn something along the way. And you're looking at Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, the drama for that is the language, but it's about four characters in a very intense space, and it's through an evening of these four characters being brought together, you know, two couples spending an evening together, and what comes out that evening, and it is extraordinary emotion, but the language is so strong. It captures character and conflict extremely well.
Yeah, and again, as I mentioned, Mamet. You know, David Mamet's plays are astonishing. And Glengarry Glen Ross was on Broadway back in years ago. I think it was revived recently in 2005. Again, exploring the darkest fears in mankind, and that particular play, Glengarry Glen Ross, I find, having come from a sales background, you know, really just hideous, you know, that intense pressure that we feel in modern life. So for me, that's what I enjoy.
That's what you enjoy. But when we're talking about language, it's how those emotions are communicated. Now, looking at Shakespeare, and, you know, for the cynics among us that think Shakespeare, really, today, really, what relevance is there? Well, interesting to find out that Shakespeare is credited by the Oxford English Dictionary with the introduction of nearly 3,000 words into the language. His vocabulary is as culled from his works numbers upward of 17,000 words, quadrupled that of an average well-educated conversationalist in the language. In the words of Louis Marder, Shakespeare was so facile in employing words that he was able to use over 7,000 of them, more than occur in the whole King James Version of the Bible, only once and never again. So an extraordinary mind. For somebody that started out from humble beginnings, Shakespeare had a very sparse formal education, but clearly a vivid imagination and ability to create words and communicate words from his imagination to the stage and to the pen and the paper.
I think so, and I remember doing my Shakespeare audition, which our shared teacher told me was appalling, was Hamlet, and the phrase, "Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt, thaw and dissolve into a dew," and, you know, it might sound a bit gobbledygook, but when you just look at it and think, wow, you know, this too solid flesh, I mean, those are beautiful words
and put together,
a speech like that is so powerful, and I think the sad thing is that it's lost nowadays to so many people, because it just sounds complicated.
Go for it, enjoy it. Something I've discovered in latter years, which I never thought I would, because as a younger person I just thought, no, is poetry.
Okay.
And actually, really extraordinary words, and I like classical poetry and I like modern poetry as well, because it's a kind of, I suppose, like stand-up comedy. It's one person wanting to share their feeling and their thoughts, but the way you put words together and how it can have an effect, an impact on the reader or the person listening to those words, just wonderful. Before we go, George, and we're going to announce our winners and we're going to share some more of the words that have come through, but just to come back on slang words and some of those words that we embrace and some of those words that we really don't enjoy, but we somehow find ourselves saying them, and understanding where they come from. So something like well-heeled. Well-heeled. Where do you think that comes from?
Well-heeled? I don't know.
Well, what does it mean to you?
Shoes? Someone who has nice shoes?
Exactly. Well-heeled, as in they have money. Okay. They're quite well off because they have nice shoes. They can afford them. They're well-heeled. Have you not heard of that before?
Yeah, I've never really thought about where it comes from, though.
Okay, well, according to the Chambers Dictionary, well-heeled means comfortably supplied with money, and states that it comes from the word heeled, meaning provided with a heel. There you go. Heeled also used to refer to being armed with a revolver. A person carrying a set of guns was said to be long-heeled, and despite the Oxford English Dictionary saying otherwise, it appears that the origin of the term actually comes from cockfighting. In the early days of cockfighting, the owners would sometimes add spurs to the feet of their birds, putting them at an advantage. If you did not add spurs to the bird, it was said to be naked-heeled. The use of the term well-heeled in this context is first seen in print in 1866 in a story by American Mark Twain.
Is this where earn your spurs comes from?
Possibly as well. Maybe.
Well-heeled, earning.
Yeah.
So you've worked hard, you've earned your spurs. You're well-heeled.
Yes, could be.
I'm mixing it up a bit, but... I don't know.
And the word idiot originally comes from the Greek word idios, which was used to refer to a person who was a private individual, or more specifically, one who was so preoccupied with their own personal life that they would not take part in the democratic process.
Okay.
Interesting. That's not an obvious link into its origins.
You know, thinking of, I guess, idiot, somebody who's not learned, if you like, ignorant. I was sort of, I guess as a child, thought ignorant meant someone was just stupid. But actually what it really means is they're not equipped with the information. They just don't know. As opposed to being, you know, stupid.
Stupid, yeah. Exactly. So think about the words that you hear, that you read, that you say, and understand them a little bit better. Very powerful stuff. Now let's go to the text messages, catch up with some more of those words, those favorite words that you've texted in and why. We have here, what do we got here from interesting, my favorite word is Kadam Rawakla. It is in Pashto, and in English it means take one step more.
Okay.
How wonderful. Thank you for that.
Nice.
What else have we got?
We've got Hakuna Matata.
Oh, Hakuna Pat- Ah, well, I'm thinking pride and lions there when I hear that. Hakuna Matata. Yeah,
it's Swahili. It means no problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Nice. So we've got, this is nice. Again, apologies for the pronunciation. This is Malayalam, and it's the word is Mazhavalu, which means rainbow.
And Maza means rain.
Yeah,
thank you for that, Falal. Thank you so much for all your messages this morning. What a celebration of language and the joy of language, I think. So thanks so much, George. Have a great day.
You too.